Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to be in a hard section today. You know, we're doing this whole thing on self-control. And we've talked about that that's the goal. The goal is to be men and women, godly people who live not by our flesh, not by our feelings, but by the truths of God's Word. And we said there are three things we're looking at: the charge to be self-control, God's provision, and then some practical application. So we started with the charge, and then we went through the provisions, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at different areas. We started off with the whole thing of anger, and then we went last week to temptation. Well, this morning, it's the tongue, and if time permits, as we get through it, because we've all, right now, I'd say we've said enough, and let's just go on to the next thing. But anyway, there's so much in that. And then the last one's materialism. And money, materialism, those pools as well. So we want to look at those because the goal is, as we have the charge to run the race, to win the prize, to be godly people, to self-control, to discipline, to our own selves. We have the Bible and the Holy Spirit. What we want to do is in all these areas, especially these specific areas, we want to have victory. And we want to be able to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So this morning, we'll start with the tongue. And if we get through with that, we'll go on to materialism. But there's a lot of things there. We have already seen anger. And we saw last week temptation. So this morning, we'll start with the tongue. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great time. Thank you for a great morning that we can come together as believers. And we get to study the Word of God. And we get to worship You. And we get to sing and pray and give and study and everything. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to have a church service, as we call it, a worship service, and an opportunity to have Sunday schools. So, Lord, we just pray that as we've gathered, especially for our Sunday school class, that we'll look at things that we can apply right now in our lives. We think of things that are very practical, truths from Your Word that You've given us. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll just be open and ready to study it and make application. Thank You for the fact that You tell us to run the race so that we can get the prize and to discipline ourselves and buffet our bodies and not live in the power of the flesh, but live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, that's what we want to do. So, Lord, we ask You right now that You'll take each one of us in this room and You'll give us the truth from Your Word and we'll make application. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that probably every one of us in this room would say that we regret some of the things we have said. Sometimes it just comes out so fast. That it's that old saying that our mind's not in gear, but our mouth is. And sometimes we just say things without thinking that hurt people and are wrong. And then sometimes we plan to say some of those things. And we realize the tongue is so powerful. And this morning, as we look at these truths, we'll see them. I think as we start the study, you remember he said, run so that you get the prize and buffet your body and gain victory and all that. And then we said, how do we do that? Well, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how we're to live. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live it out. And then we started, of course, looking at anger. And that was... that's powerful because anger is not sin. Be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. Angry is an emotion that God has given to us, but how we respond to that emotion can be sin. And so he says, be angry and sin not. And we talked several weeks ago about the whole idea of anger and how to deal with it. And then last week, the whole idea of temptation. And we narrowed that really to thinking more of temptation as far as the sexual end of it. And we said, flee youthful lust. And we said, where does this temptation come from? It's not really the devil after us. He controls the world system, but the world system protects our flesh, and that's the flesh. And we looked at James, where he talked about, well, don't let any man say that God tempts them, but they're not tempted by God, but tempted when the flesh pulls on their own lust, and that's what happens. And we talked about that God had made a provision for us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that comes on us that's such as common to man, but God will provide a way of escape. It won't be beyond what we will be able to find a way of escape. So whenever we're tempted to do wrong, that's not necessarily sin. It's how we respond to that temptation that can be sin. And we talked about that. There was a great passage that we looked at in Romans as we started those things. And bottom line was, whoever you offer yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. You offer yourself to the flesh, you're going to serve the flesh, and it's going to be sin. You offer yourself to the Holy Spirit, they'll be that. And that's why he says, so do that. Offer yourself to God. And that's why he'll say in a lot of places, walk worthy of the calling and offer yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead and all of those kind of things. Well, last time temptation, we saw a bunch of different things there. One of the things that I've never gotten over as I looked through the scripture was the way that it works. You know, we said those four things. You see it, you want it, you take it, and you hide it. That's over and over again throughout the scripture. It's also over and over in our lives. We see something, it affects us that way. We want it, we then do it. And then we try to hide it. That's just the way we are. And we saw it all through the scripture in our lives. Well, from there, let's think about the tongue. Wow, when you start saying tongue, you have to be very careful, because we talk, the tongue is whatever we say. It could be gossip, slander. James says the tongue is so powerful. Look at Proverbs 15. Let's just look at a couple of verses to get started. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 2. Actually, look at verse 1, because 1 and 2 can go together. Look how it starts off. The gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I mean, you already start off, and he's talking about the tongue, but look what he says. Somehow, some way, you can answer people in a gentleness, and that stops anger and wrath, but you can say the wrong thing, and that's anger. And notice, verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. There are ways to say things that are right, that even when people might not agree with it, they go, well, wait a minute, I'm seeing that now, because the tongue of the wise, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So he says, be careful what you say and how you say it, because the tongue is very powerful. Look at chapter 18 of Proverbs. Just turn a couple of pages on further back to chapter 18. Look at verse 21. This shows you how powerful the tongue really is. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me tell you, death and life in the power of the tongue. Did you know that you have the power by words that you say to destroy lives? You do. Any of us in this room, by what we say, we can destroy somebody else's life. There are people that we know and love, and there are things that we can say that will hurt them for the rest of their lives. There are things that we can say that will encourage them for the rest of their lives. Most of you know Prof. Hendricks, or me talk about Prof. Hendricks. He's the professor at Dallas Seminary, been there over 50 years, one of the greatest Bible teachers of all time. And he tells that when he was in the second grade, he was pretty rambunctious. I think he had a lot of energy. Not like me, of course, but he had a lot of energy. And he said that second grade teacher, oh, man, he was moving and she didn't understand him. And that was back in the days long before they thought of anybody having any kind of attention deficit or anything. And she got in trouble all the time. And it says that even one time she roped him to his chair in the second grade. And he you know what? He says, when I think of her and what she said about me, it really hurts. He said he went to the third grade. And I forgot the name of the teacher, but he says, I remember her name. He says, I walked in there, and I sat down, and she said, Howie Hendricks, huh? She said, I've heard all about you, and I don't believe a word of it. Greatest teacher he ever had. Changed his whole life. The tongue. We can build up, we can tear down. He says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. I think sometimes we talk and not realize how much power is there. You know, with the tongue, I get to teach the Bible. The greatest, I mean, I look at it as one of the greatest things anybody could ever get to do. In that, there's life, because we tell of the eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. So the tongue is such a powerful thing. Turn over to the book of James for a second. Let's go over there. We'll start with James chapter 1. I want you to just see something about the tongue. And then we'll get to chapter 3. And then we'll get into some other things. There's so much that we need to know. And I think if there's any one thing that we could learn from Proverbs and James in our study of the tongue, is that who's going to control our tongue? We are. What we've seen over and over in the Christian life is, who decides whether we walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh? We do. Who decides if we're going to bring glory to Jesus Christ or not? We do. Now, I'm not talking about it's not in our power. It's God's power through us. And that's why when he says, well done, he says, well done, good and faithful, because we were faithful to do what he wanted us to do. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, now he uses the word religious in a biblical word idea of one who belongs to God and does what God wants him to do. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet he does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and this man's religion is worthless. It's just not counting, because look what he's doing. bridle the tongue. You would think, if any man's religious, but he doesn't study his Bible, he doesn't go to church, he doesn't help people, he doesn't make disciples. No, he says, if you don't what? Watch your tongue. Because remember, in the tongue there is what? Life and death. Do you, as anyone, raise your hand if this is true. Has anyone ever said something bad about you? Do you remember it? I remember things that people said back when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Can you remember things that far back? Can you still remember hurtful words? What they said about you? Sure you can. The power of life and death. He says, listen, if anybody thinks himself religious, yet he doesn't bridle his tongue, you better hold your tongue. Be watching. Be careful. Look at James chapter 3. Just flip a page over if your Bible's like mine. Verse 7. James chapter 3, verse 7. Every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. It's true, you go to the zoo, man, they're there, aren't they? They're there. They're not all happy, but they're there. But no one can tame the tongue. And notice how he describes the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Well, you can hurt somebody so quickly. We can all do it so quickly. Now watch. This is what's amazing. With the tongue, with it, we bless our Lord and Father. We say, oh, I love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And look at the dress. That looks so bad. You can be standing by somebody and you say, isn't God good? Did you hear what JB did last week? With it, you can bless God and curse man all at the same time. Who have been made in the likeness of God, from the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. You remember what your mother taught you, which was biblical? If you can't say something good, don't say it at all. The bottom line is, the tongue is so powerful that with your mouth you can bless God and you can praise God and we can sing those songs and we can lift Him up and we can tell truth about our Savior and we can say how great God is and wonderful, and with the same tongue we can destroy a human being made in the image of God. Because that's what He says. We curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Man. If you think back this week, I don't want to think back. I try not. Don't think back. But if you do think back this week, did you say things that you know you shouldn't have said? Did you say things about people? We probably all did. See, with the mouth, we can say, we love Jesus. And with the mouth, we can say something about somebody else. Ephesians 4:29. Listen to this. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. In Ephesians, in fact, if you're in James, let's go ahead and just flip to Ephesians. I wasn't thinking, but that's not that far away from there. So just turn over to Ephesians 4, because I want you to look at the verse. Because in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he says some of the same things. Ephesians 4:29 has two parts to it. There's the negative and there's the positive. The negative is what you're not supposed to do, and the positive is what you are supposed to do. So let me let everybody kind of get there for a second. Ephesians 4:29, and then we'll actually probably go on over to chapter 5 just for a second to see some things. But look at verse 29 again. Here's the negative. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. See, sometimes when we talk about the tongue, we think maybe somebody's saying a bad word, what we might call a curse word or a cuss word or, you know, some slang word that's real bad or something like that. But this doesn't just say that. It says let no what kind of word? Unwholesome. Now, we might say, what does unwholesome mean? The word has an idea of rotten, like rotten fruit, something that you'd go, yuck, oh, man, ugh. But he says, don't let that kind of stuff come out of your mouth. And it doesn't necessarily mean a bad word that we'd say, a cuss word that we'd say, something that they bleep off on some television. They used to bleep off all of it. Now they don't bleep off hardly any of it. He says, don't let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. But here's the contrast. Here's the positive. Only such a word that is good for edification. the words that will edify. What does edify mean? Build up. That's exactly right. Now, the words that come out of our mouth can be unwholesome words that do what? Tear down. Or good words that build up. What's it going to be? Because remember, he's already said, well, one out of our mouth we can say, I love Jesus. And on the other side, we can say, but I don't like this person, or I don't like the way they look. I don't like this. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they did? We can do it. So he says, be careful. Don't let these unwholesome words come out of your mouth. The negative, but the positive. But only words that are good for edification that will build up according to the need of the moment. How many people do you think you're going to come in contact with this morning that have a need to be built up? Probably every one of us. Probably every one of us need to be encouraged. Because, see, we live in a world that batters us down. We live in a fallen world. Things aren't always right. We're sick. We're hurt. Things don't go right. Job's not the way you think it is. The house is not. And nothing's the way you think it should be. And it's not going to ever be. It's a fallen world. And what do we need from each other more than anything else? Unwholesome words or words that build up? So that we can have grace at the need of the moment. Because that's what he says. He says, so for the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. How do we want to deal with people? Let's try as believers, in the power of the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God, from this day forward, let's try to say good about everyone and not bad. You know, every human being in this room, we could stand up right here, start with me, and you all know bad things about me. There's all something that I've done or said. You could say, JB's this, and it's true. You could say something bad about me. Also, every one of you could maybe find something good. Now, which do I need the most? No, I won't. It would take the whole copy machine to make the list of the bad. But I will get you a list of the good. But, okay, yeah. What do we need the most? We all need to be built up. From this day forward, why don't we say, how can we, in our relationships with each other, be looking for ways to build up? Have you ever built somebody up and watched their eyes? What happens to their eyes when you build them up? They brighten, they glow. What happens to people when you probably don't tell them they're bad? You tell somebody else they're bad and it gets back to them. What do their eyes do then? They fall. So what do we want to do? Let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouths, but only such a word that is good for edification, for the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love the tongue. I hate the tongue. I love the tongue to get to teach the Bible and say positive things and build people up. I hate the tongue when I say bad things. You know, people look at sin and they go, ooh, adultery, this, murder. Hey, you know what? They always leave out gossip. In the Proverbs, it says there are seven things that God hates. Five of the seven deal with the tongue. Murder and adultery is not in there. It's just not in that list. He hates when we use our tongues the wrong way. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Let me read for you Proverbs 21. Listen to this one. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. You got to guard our mouths. James says, bridle your tongue. The Bible says, be careful what you say. Use it to build up, not tear down. Why don't we really try to do that? What if we made this application? What if just this group right here in this room, I think there's 75 or 80 of us today, what if we all, from this day forward, look for ways that when we come in contact with each other, that we look for ways to say things that build up and never tear down? What would happen to us? And you know, this thing might spread throughout this whole church. No telling what could happen. Because see, you're going to get the down stuff when you go out into the world. You sure need the building up stuff from the body of Christ. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. So sometimes it's just better not to ever say anything. Proverbs 15, we already saw, I think, verses 1 and 2, but verse 4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. Your life to people. Next time somebody comes in and you see them and you go, God, that's a beautiful dress. Your hair looks great. Boy, I tell you what, you always make me happy. Thanks for coming. Build them up. Notice what it says. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. I know some people by what I know when people say certain things, sometimes it crushes people for the rest of their lives. So what do we want to do? Build up? I'm going to open up for questions in just a second. But let me just say this. Some specific applications. Let's, number one, guard our tongues. Number two, if we've got something to say that's not positive to someone, if, biblically speaking, there's some time that you need to go and say something to someone that maybe is not positive, because sometimes there are times in a confrontational aspect, if there's sin, if there's something that's not exactly right, sometimes you approach. We've seen that from the Bible, Matthew 18. But let me say this. If there's something that you think is not right about somebody, don't tell anybody else. Go to that person. Because see, we're famous as people for saying, let me tell you what Jerry did the other day. I want to tell you what he did. What you ought to say the moment somebody says, let me tell you what Jerry did, you ought to look right at him and say, you ought to go tell Jerry. Don't tell me what Jerry did. You go talk to Jerry. That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. How many of us are guilty to do it the other way? I am. From this day forward, let's use our tongues to build up, to encourage, to bring soothing life, to help people grow, rather than unwholesome words that tear down. We can do it. We can do it. Because he said, I'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do all things through the one who strengthens you. We can do it. Hey, we got to train ourselves. Train ourselves to be godly people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, discipline ourselves for godliness. Prof. Hendricks, I'll finish with this story. When everybody at Dallas Seminary has these classes, if you're in through there to be a pastor, you have preaching classes where you have to, there's a whole class full of guys, and then you give a message, and there's your professors and stuff in the back, and then at the end, they all critique it all. It's kind of a scary time. Prof. Hendricks says, as he was getting up to do his first sermon thing that they do at Dallas, Lewis Berry Chafer was in the back. That's the founder of Dallas Seminary, one of the great ones of all time. He was so nervous, and he talked through the whole thing. Here comes Dr. Chafer afterwards to talk to him. And he thought, oh, boy, this is the end of the world. And Dr. Chafer said, wow, you did a great job. I'm so built up. I'm so encouraged. You keep on teaching the Bible. Now, there were probably 50 things wrong, Prof says, with what I did that day, my first time to ever talk. But Lewis Berry Chafer didn't pick on us. He built me up. What should we do? Build each other up, tear each other down. Build each other up. Let's do it. That was second bell. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Lord, I pray for myself and for each one in this room that we will do everything we can in relationship with each other to build up with our tongues and what we say. It'll be like a fountain of life and soothing, and that we'll be very careful that we do not use our tongue to tear down. Lord, I pray in relationship with each other we'll be building up, and our church will be famous for people who love and encourage, and that's what we do. Lord, we know there are things that are wrong, and we can say those are wrong things. But may we, in our relationship with each other, build up. And then if there's something to say, go to that person. Lord, may we do it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.